Sometimes I just have a guest that I had to sneak in at a time where I wish I had more time, so I create time. And that's what I've did with Douglas Ernest, or that's what I've done with Douglas Ernest. He's a retired captain with the Army, served in Desert Storm. He's written a book called The Spirit of a True Patriot, and it is the inspiring story of, well, him. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having a chance to visit with you and your listeners.
You're welcome. I'll give away a copy of your book at the end of the interview here, so some lucky person's going to win it. But you give all of the proceeds or royalties or profits, whatever you want to call them, to veterans groups. Why did you do that?
I did it because I was so fortunate when I got out of the military over the years of using the Veterans Administration, and I didn't have enough, there wasn't enough support. There's not enough money and resources to take care of our sisters and brothers that exit the military. So I hope that by having a chance to give a little bit of something back, that we can make a difference and help these people that need a helping hand from time to time.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service to start with.
Thank you very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
You know, and I can't talk this morning. Normally I can speak very well, but it was a rough night, I'm not going to lie. All right, so I'm wondering if you think, I read your book, and it's fantastic, by the way. Everybody should get a copy. It's available where great books are sold and on Amazon, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So when you were in Desert Storm, I heard so many stories about how they disallowed you to actually fight to win, where you weren't given any bullets, or you were given rubber bullets, or you were given bean bags, or they took away your ability to just win the war. And, you know, we kept hearing shock and awe, shock and awe. Was any of that true?
But shock and awe was in Desert Storm 2 when they did that. They Donald Rumsfeld, you know, strategy to win the war. But the first war, yeah, they didn't give you bullets. So you were actually in the war, and the rounds were flying, and people were, you know, getting killed. So they were just trying to be real careful with the bullets and hold back so that people wouldn't get hurt. But on the other hand, you know, if you have a soldier firing at you, and then you turn around, you have to go ask your leader for a bullet. It kind of makes it hard to respond in a quick, timely fashion so that you can win the war, as you mentioned.
There'd be no stinking way in hell that I would go into a war without bullets. I would have snuck in my own. There's just no way. I would be in there. I would go Rambo. There's just no way. All right. So while you were serving, you had a lot of challenges. I know even growing up, you had some challenges. Tell us about your childhood a little bit and what brought you to the military.
Well, I grew up in a town called Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know, a suburb outside of Chicago, about 30 minutes north of Chicago. And where I'm from, there's not a lot of opportunity. It's pretty dismal. The main, you know, industry back then was manufacturing, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity. Parents didn't have any money to send me to college. So I joined the Army when I was 17 years old to get something called the Army College Fund. I didn't really understand what I was getting into, and I signed up for the infantry, which is one of the ways that you can... Yeah, you get money. You get more money when you do a job that people don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I got more money to join the infantry, and then 6 months later, after I joined, I was found myself in Operation Desert Storm, and I was in the front of the line fighting on the battlefield, and I didn't understand what I was getting myself into back then.
Yeah.
And I later became a patriot. It was probably the best thing that ever happened to me in my life,
mm-hmm.
that I was able to change myself from a kid that wanted to get college money to a man that had turned into a patriot that wanted to fight for his country and help others that were surrounded around the world by dictators and by, you know, the bad guys out there that try to destroy freedom.
Yeah, they deserve to have their heads knocked off. You know, I've got a grandson going into one of the branches. I don't know which, but it's because of he wants to go to college, see the world, all that stuff that everybody says when they join. But they don't expect to get tossed into war 6 months after they get out of boot camp. But that often happens.
Yeah, it's a common phenomenon when there's conflict around the globe. And I was fortunate to have the best leaders you can possibly imagine that would, you know, mentor you and help guide you so that you wouldn't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fortunately, we didn't have a a bad casualty rate in Desert Storm 1 or Desert Storm 2, mm-hmm. that we were able to, you know, win the war, overtake the enemy, and survive and thrive. And then later that led to a 20-year career in the military, and I went from a private to a sergeant, and then later it became a lieutenant, and then a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, and then a captain in the military. So it was just a great career. My book talks about the progression of, you know, advancing throughout the military and then using some of the tactics and techniques that they taught me in my career in the military to become an entrepreneur and have a car dealership called Corvette Warehouse.
Good for you.
So I wound up
hot cars.
Using all these different strategies and tactics that I was taught to learn how to be an entrepreneur, how to navigate the transition in the civilian world. And then I write about these strategies and tactics in the book and tell mm-hmm. people, you know, things that they can do to improve their life, whether it's start a business or whether it's, you know, have a better family life or take better care of their health. And it's based on principles from the military that I learned over the 20 years that I served.
That's why it's be all you can be. You know, it's not just come shoot a gun. It's called be all you can be. That's why. Now, I know your grandfather in the book, you talk about him and how he was looked at as basically a hero. But your daddy did not want you to go.
No, my dad actually was very opposed to me going into the military because his oldest brother was a Vietnam veteran. And my dad had told me stories as a kid how him and his brother were so close and they were best of friends. And when my uncle went to Vietnam and he came home, my dad and him really never spoke after that. They were very distant. Mm-hmm. My uncle and him would fight, and my uncle was a different person after coming back from Vietnam. So my dad was very opposed. And actually, it's been funny you say that, because the day before I left, my dad had came into my bedroom the night before and told me, hey, kid, I want to talk to you. And I want to tell you, if you decide you don't want to join the military, I'll get a second job. I'll put
sell
a loan
the house.
a second loan on the house, whatever you need so that I can help you pay for your college.
Yeah.
And that moment, I realized how much my father really did love me and how he wanted me to have the best life possible and give me everything he could, even though he was making $400 a week working his butt off at a manufacturing firm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, but you did the right thing. Serving your country, there could not be a more commendable or honorable thing to do, no matter what aspect it is. So I know that right now we've got a lot of conflict going on around the world, and everyone's scared and says to my grandson Dallas, don't join, you're going to end up going to war. I keep telling him there are a lot of jobs that can be done where they're not shooting at you. So, you know, you can go contribute and you don't have to be on the front line. But sometimes things change and you got to do what you got to do. So I want to remind everybody that all of the people who serve this country have done us a great honor. And so we should look at every single one of them with the respect they deserve. And people who spit at the military and call you baby killers or whatever the case may be, it infuriates me, because the fact that you took a chunk of your life to go fight for my freedom, I don't know how to repay you.
Well, that's actually awesome way to put it, and I can't say thank you enough for putting it in that perspective to your listeners. Right now, as you mentioned, the world is in a dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
If you, you know, looking over the military strategy and training I had over the years, I've never seen the world with so many conflicts going on at one time in my particular lifetime.
Yeah.
And right now, we need change in the military. The military was used as an experiment over the last 4 years with putting in DEI programs and using critical race theory and interjecting transgenderism into the military and, you know, funding transgender surgeries for people to join to serve. And it really, really affected the morale of the military. You know, the people that I was serving with, you know, 15 years ago, a lot of them stayed in. And recently, several of them have gotten out of the military because of the low morale, because of the unhappiness in their job and the pathetic work environment in which they served. So it was the best thing that ever happened to us. It was a blessing from God that President Trump was elected and
Amen.
That he's attempting to make change. And hopefully with Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of Defense, there will be a fast, swift change to be able to, you know, maybe, you know, correct some of the wrongs that have been done and make people proud to serve again and make up some of that 40% of the recruiting shortage that's going on right now. Because America needs to be strong. If we don't have a strong military and something happens, we're not going to win. We're going to collapse.
I want the biggest, baddest, best people, man or woman. I don't care if you think you're a boy or think you're a girl. I'm not paying for your surgery. That's not why you're enlisting. You're enlisting to fight for freedom. You can do that when you get out. So I want everybody who's in there who is a bulldog, who's going to just tear that up when they get out there, who are well-trained and not worried about the pronouns. I want people in there who want to fight. Masculinity is a good thing.
It's an absolutely awesome thing. And, you know, the number one thing to being a good soldier, being a military service member, the 2 million that serve today is being a warrior, putting your country first, putting your sisters and brothers that serve beside you first, and then putting yourself third. You know, your country, your fellow sisters and brothers, and then yourself. And that's how you look at it from a training perspective so that you can win and win on the battlefield, win in the war, win if you're in the finance department or you're cooking in the back of the in the line somewhere. As long as you put others first before yourself, you have a better chance of winning. And I do believe that our country is changing and the pendulum is going to swing and things are going to get better. Thank God President Trump was elected so that we can start these changes that going through our military and hopefully also throughout our country, because it not only affects the people of our country, but it also affects the entire globe with the strength and the status of the U.S. military.
Well, the U.S. military goes through hell when they're in war, as does the enemy, but that's what it's all about. I love that you went on to have a successful Corvette business, and I love that you look back on your time of service as a catapult for you to your success, and I wish more people looked at it that way. We're having a hard time getting men and women to even join, but it seems like with Trump now in charge, other countries are starting to crap their pants a little bit, and they're coming over here begging, don't kill us. And I really feel like that's why Iran is the one who tried to take him out. I think they were complicit in that, and I wish more people would think about that. Am I wrong, or do you think that that might have been part of the scenario?
Absolutely. You nailed it right there. They didn't want President Trump to win. They wanted President Biden in that chair because he gave them $6 billion a few years back to allow them to proliferate their weapons and their terror programs.
And Hamas.
That direct funding of $6 billion led to the attack on Israel because Hamas was fully flush with cash. They were able to round up weapons and make a plan to attack Israel. That didn't turn out real well because it led to the devastation in Gaza with 44,000 people that passed away. It led to 90% of their infrastructure being destroyed, and it's just an awful, awful, awful set of circumstances that could have completely been averted if we wouldn't have given Iran that money.
Yeah.
And we gave that money thinking they were going to be good boys and gals and, you know, behave themselves and not try to cause terrorism. But when a country gets on the news report and says, I want death to all Americans and I want death to all Jews and we must do everything we can do to infiltrate the infidels, and then you turn around and give them $6 billion of the American tax dollars money, it just doesn't make common sense.
That's because everybody said they were going to destroy us from within. They got their guy in that spot who had a soft spot for them, and that's what happened. But I had a soldier from the IDF on. I replayed the interview yesterday, and Elkanah told me that as they were blowing up the holes that the worms were coming out of and shooting and running away like whack-a-mole, he said most of the handheld rocket launchers and things that they found were from Iran.
Absolutely. That's where they get their weaponry.
The weapons cache, yeah.
Yeah, everything comes from Iran, and all that money came from Iran. And we as an American taxpayer, directly funded the attack on Israel. Now, our American people didn't do it.
Sick.
The leadership in our government made these decisions with our tax dollars and used our resources trying to, whatever the reason is behind these mistakes and botched foreign policy, the Afghanistan withdrawal, the money to Iran, all the just mishaps that they did, led by President Biden and Vice President Harris and, you know, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, they just made some of the most grave mistakes and tactics in military history. And we're so, they keep going back to the point that we're so thankful that President Trump gets elected, that he can make these changes, because after 4 years of complete utter destruction of the American military and just pummeled its success that it had in the past, and the botched foreign policy initiatives that went around the globe, that we have two conflicts brewing and many more dumpster fires out there and countries being toppled right before our eyes, mm-hmm. and no hope in sight. Nobody's leading at the realm. I don't think there's a person at the White House in charge right now. I think the person that's in charge is not cognitively stable to be able to make decisions in that situation room. That leads to other people making decisions and just chaos up there. And it just didn't do well. Our deficit ballooned to $37 trillion. We got two wars across the globe with hundreds of thousands of dead, millions of people injured, trillions of dollars in damage and infrastructure damage. And all of this could have been avoided if you would have had a better foreign policy initiative and had a country that leads by force, which is the United States.
The inauguration is coming. I'm out of time. I have about 15 seconds. Where do they find your book, Douglas?
Please go to DouglasErnest.com, and please go to Amazon, buy the book. All proceeds for profits and royalties go to veterans groups, and I hope that if you find one thing out of that book, it'd been worth the $15 you spend on the copy. Thank you all to all you and your listeners, and happy holidays to everyone out there.
Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, all that stuff. Thanks, Douglas.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.